Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. As I have to tell our listeners around the world here in the Midwest, we saw our first snowflakes today.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, winter's on its way, and we're not wanting it whatsoever.
No, we're not looking forward to it.
No. Our guest tonight, this is an exciting show. As everyone knows, each week we have on scientists, authors, adventurers, wildlife experts. But one of my true loves is music, and joining us in a little bit will be Tim Bogert from the classic rock bands such as Vanilla Fudge, Cactus, Beck, Bogert, and Apathy. It's going to be on tonight. It's going to be an exciting show, so we hope everyone has a comfortable seat, a cool beverage, and enjoy tonight's broadcast. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, and Wayne Larson is our technical engineer, and music done so masterfully by Jim Johnson. And from the massive Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and always humble Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. We did get to see some snowflakes today, didn't we?
Well, I have to tell you, we were at a school today with our animals doing a program, and I looked out the gym door, and as my dear wife Cheryl walked in with our African serval cat, there were snowflakes, and I had to ask her, snow? And she said, yes, but luckily it melted as it touched the ground, because believe it or not, my alligators are still outside, and tomorrow's the day they're going to get moved in. So what are you doing tomorrow, Dr. Day?
Well, hopefully I'll be able to assist you.
Well, I hope so, too. That's always a fun time. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy to WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for November 11th. Now, before we start the news tonight, I wanted to let Tim Bogert know that I'm no relation to Rusty Day. Although some of my relations are a little crusty.
It's the Crusty Rusty Day Show.
Here we go.
Featuring Henry! Take it, Henry.
All right. Well, let's start out in Eagle River, Alaska. Now, we have lots of friends and listeners in Alaska, and they'll be happy to know.
Eagle River.
The Alaska officials say a state trail near the Eagle River National Center has been reopened after its yearly closing during the bear activity season. Now, the Albert Luke Trail runs along the Eagle River, where the black and the brown bears feed on spawning salmon this time of the year. Well, they use bridges, beaver platforms, whatever they can stand on, rocks to, snatch the fish out of the river. But it has been reopened, so go out and enjoy yourself, but still keep your eyes open.
Yeah, they've had a lot of incidents with bears over the last summer, and we had Bob Jackson, legendary Yellowstone park ranger, on, and so we urge everyone to follow the park rules. Do not feed or approach the bears.
There has been an incredible number of...
They'll eat you. That's right.
Happening, that's right. All right, our next story takes us to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or as Alice Cooper would pronounce it, Milwaukee. Yeah. Now, this story we'll call You Keep Me Hanging On. A decade-old effort to return the whooping crane to its original numbers included state workers who put on crane-like costumes to raise the chicks hatched in captivity and taught the young cranes to migrate to Florida, led by an ultralight plane. Now, all of this pretty much seemed outlandish at the time. But with 104 birds, including 20 breeding pairs, Operation Migration is reaching its goal of 125 self-sustaining birds and 25 breeding pairs. Well, now, their flock this year, Wisconsin's flock of 10 birds, left on October 19th and reached Illinois last week. It took them a month to get there, but...
Well, they made it. That's outstanding news.
That's the most important thing.
We're also hearing the voice of Tim Bogert, and he found the guys dressed up as whooping cranes just as amusing as I did.
Yeah,
it reminds me of a bat show in Cleveland one time, but we can't go into that on a family show now, can we, fellas?
Yeah.
No, we can't. But
sorry. Sorry.
All right, now, a few weeks ago, we had a very good friend of ours from the Albuquerque Zoo on.
Doug Hodel.
That's right, our good friend Doug Hodel. Well, this is going to make Doug happy. Now, we'll call this story The Return. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Game commissioners are making history with their decision to remove desert bighorn sheep from the state's list of endangered species. Now, there was a unanimous vote, which marks the state's first time that the wildlife officials have been able to remove a species from the list due to its recovery. Now, it says there are only like 225 bighorn sheep in the wild spread over six mountain ranges in the southern half of the state. Now, that doesn't seem like quite enough to me.
Well, you know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they do a lot of work on that's a lot of research. So, you know, if they are guiding it toward not being an endangered species, we have to trust them, I guess. You know,
they have more information than we do.
So get your staff on that, Dr. Day.
I will. I'll have it by tomorrow morning.
Oh, good.
All right, now we're heading off to God's country, but this story is going to make you a little bit mad.
Uh-oh.
Where is my mine? Frisco, Colorado. Wildlife authorities say the state's small moose population faces a frustrating threat. Sloppy hunters who think they're aiming at elk. Yeah. Now, we're just halfway through this year's rifle season, and officials know of 11 moose accidentally killed. Last year, the number was 14 for the entire year. Now, Colorado only has about 1,700 moose to start with.
Hell.
Now,
not anymore.
If you can't tell the difference from an elk and a moose, you shouldn't have a high-powered rifle in your arm.
Well, I have to tell you this story. I had a friend that had a Barbary sheep, an African Barbary sheep, escape, and it was later brought into a deer check-in station. Somebody had shot it and thought that it was a deer. And there's no resemblance at all. I mean,
well, it is a problem when you get the beer can in front of the scope.
That is true, yeah.
There is that problem.
Yes,
you know, the beer
is.
Can hides the antlers. Wow, geez, what was I going to do, Bubba?
Tim has a good point there.
That's right. It could have been a park bench for all they know.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really good, you put the beer can down.
That's
Thank
right.
you. This has been an announcement.
All right. Now, we're heading off to Duran, Illinois. Shotgun. A bald eagle found shot along the Illinois River has been transferred to a wildlife rehabilitation center. The 8-month-old eagle will recover at the Hoohaven Wildlife Recreation and Educational Center. Now, the eagle was found on October 30th, and it had a fractured wing. Now, there is a $1,000 reward for information about the shooter.
Well, let's hope something... I mean, anybody that shoots an eagle, that's... You know.
Yeah, well, maybe we should take them out to Colorado where the elk hunters can...
Yeah, we'll dress them up like an elk.
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy.
All right, Fort Worth, Texas. She's not there.
Uh-oh.
The drought may be affecting the migration of the monarch butterflies heading south for the winter. Now, here's the problem. Michael Werner of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department says he's only seen four butterflies in the last 3 weeks when they're used to seeing thousands.
Mm.
Yeah, we know they help pollinate. They're part of the wildlife scheme. Bad news for the monarch.
Yeah, it hurts. Like bees, that's very harmful to the ecosystem, so we hope that turns around.
We hope they show up here in the next few days.
Yes.
Maybe they're just hanging out somewhere.
Yeah.
Some milkweed field somewhere.
That's right.
All right. Listen to this story. Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh.
A squirrel on a power line caused a grass fire Saturday near Rapid City. Now, here's the good news. A group of skateboarders put out the blaze before the firefighters arrived.
Oh.
Now, the squirrel was electrocuted around 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And sparks started a fire that spread to an area about 30 by 40 feet.
Well.
Now, no one was injured. No buildings were harmed except for the squirrel.
Yeah.
But he learned a valuable lesson.
Well, yes, he did.
And the skateboarders got lunch.
That's right. Good for them skateboarders.
All right, now local news. The news is running a little long tonight, but we got to do this. Our good friend and former Block Talk show guest, Jenny DeVoe, is performing here in town on Saturday night.
Well.
Now she'll perform a concert under the direction of artistic director Kirk Trevor with the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra.
Wow.
Yes.
Should be a
very impressive sounding.
It should be. Jenny is quite
yes.
a talent.
Yes, she is.
All right. Before we close up tonight, I want to remind everybody tomorrow is Veterans Day. Say thank you if you can. We also have a full
thank
moon
you.
Tonight. And we always warn our listeners that there are more animal attacks on a full moon than any other time of the month.
And speaking earlier of emergency rooms, yes, that too.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So pay attention. All right, well, that's the Wild World News for November 10th. Now, the last thing I'm going to say tonight, the average raindrop falls at 7 miles an hour.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day, and we also want to thank Dr. Day, being he is a veteran, Dr. Day. Thank you very much for your service.
Well,
you're welcome. Yes. Check
thank
out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, a big thank you to underwriters such as McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. On the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park, we call that God's country. Go to their website at info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Also, Cobalt Blue Press Bookstore in historic Knightstown, Indiana. The shelves are stocked with new, rare, and gently used books, including many hard-to-find children's titles. Whether it's your favorite author or subject, owner Shannon Dawson will find any book online for you. Contact her on Facebook or Twitter, Shannon Dawson, or visit the store 7 days a week. Free coffee, Wi-Fi, it's a cozy reading area. The Cobalt Blue Press, the corner of Main and Jefferson in Knightstown, Indiana. Also, RadioMom.fm, the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And why not listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7, each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. legendary bassist for such bands as Vanilla Fudge, Cactus, and Beck, Bogart, and Apathy. We'd like to welcome, gosh, a musical icon to tonight's show. Tim Bogart joins us all the way from his home in sunny and much warmer than Indiana, California. Good evening, Tim.
Hi. Hello, how are you?
Well, we're great. It's fantastic to have you on the show tonight. Been a
fan
forever, and this is quite
an
honor
to
have you.
Yeah, that makes us both old. And how old are you? Well, I'm forever. I think that's 2 days younger than dirt, isn't it? Forever?
Pretty much, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
So I
liked your news. The news was good. The news was funny.
The puns
were good. Caught up to that real quick.
Yeah, Dr. Henry Day, he always does. Him and his crack staff do a masterful job with the Wild World News, and we love it when the guests participate. It's always makes it fun for us. And you're living now, as you told me earlier, kind of semi-retired in California.
Sort of, kind of, yeah. I did work in March. I did an album with Carmine and a Spanish guitarist by the name of Javier Vargas,
uh-huh.
a blues guitarist. And I did an album for him. We did 10 tunes in 10 days and did that in Vegas and then drove home. So I actually did work once this year. But, yeah, I'm pretty much retired. And the reason for that is it seems after my crash, I seem to be a little bit frail. And every time I get on an airplane, I catch something. Pneumonia, the flu, bronchitis, a sinus infection, an ear infection, et cetera, et cetera. It gets really old, I did. So I stay home now.
Well, I'll bet.
It's really kind of fun. I get to ride my motorcycle a lot. That's really cool.
Well, tell your fans and our listeners around the world what happened tonight, because you told me a little bit about your mishap on your motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, I was out riding in the midst of nowhere with three friends, and one of the fellas lost control of his bike and took me out like a bowling pin.
Oh.
And that was about 6 years ago. I'm still recovering. So the road has become optional at the moment. I miss it.
I'll bet.
The excitement of it. I miss playing with the lads. It was fun. I enjoyed them.
Well,
but
go ahead.
All things must pass.
Well, I will have to thank you before we go any further for the amount of music that you contributed to my life and the opportunity to sit down with what we used to call records and listen to some of the fantastic music.
Those round black things.
Yes, with
album
covers.
Yeah, I
remember
them.
Yeah, where you
that
actually,
vinyl stuff. I love that. I got vinyl here. Yeah, I tell you what.
Where you could actually read the album cover without a microscope.
Yeah, you could see the stuff, yeah.
And that
little tiny printing now.
That was the adventure. I mean, to sit there and listen to an album and then study the cover for hours upon hours. I mean, it was just like, that's what it was all about.
And gosh, now even with MP3s, it's another step forward. You get no information at all. Hey! So, you know, here you go. Progress, I tell you.
We've heard from record producer from Los Angeles, Shelley Leibowitz, that vinyl's coming back.
Is it really?
Yes. In fact,
I've gone and done it again. I sold my vinyl collection about 2 years ago. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Oh, timing.
I guess the new vinyl is the sound is just, it has a warmer sound than the CDs do.
Always did.
Yeah.
Analog will always be warmer than digital. That's
absolutely
the nature of the beast. And
absolutely,
if you play it with a tube amplifier, oh boy. But
let's start off with your career. Of course, Vanilla Fudge, I consider that one of the great bands of the 60s. And you probably toured endlessly, I assume.
Oh, gosh, we did 250 days a year. They worked us like slaves. I thought I was a donkey for a while, but I really enjoyed it. We were all in our 20s, and it was really exciting. It was our first big time out on the road, and, gosh, I had no idea there were that many women out there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Can I get an amen? Yes.
Amen.
So, yeah, oh God, we had a wonderful time.
I have to ask you, do you still have in your closet somewhere those kind of fuzzy vests that you were so known to wear? Kind of your early trademark?
No, I'm afraid I outgrew them some time ago. That kind of went with the top of my hair. But yeah.
Did they go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, I think they went to the Long Island garbage dump.
Oh, no.
yeah, all that stuff went years and years ago, yeah. I was living in Long Island at the time. When I moved out here, a lot of stuff left. It just went away.
Well, that's a shame.
A year later, clothes are passe. You wouldn't be caught dead in your 20s wearing last year's clothes. God, think of the ridicule.
Oh, absolutely.
God. So, I was young and trendy once I got over that, too.
Well, I have to tell you, when Vanilla Fudge was big, when they, with you keep me hanging on, that was one of the great time periods as far as music I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, it was a great time, yeah. I was very fortunate to be there at the right time.
So did you
really
have a chance? Oh, I'll bet. Did you have a chance? I assume that the Vanilla Fudge played both the Fillmores one time or the other?
Quite a few times, yes.
What a great hall that was.
And the guy was there at the Fillmore East every single time we played yelling whipping post from the middle of the room. Oh, yeah. That's a joke, but it's real.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a guy that used to be in the Fillmore East, and he would constantly be yelling whipping post. It wouldn't matter who was there.
Oh, right.
Because I used to go down. I had friends who did the light show and go down and hang out and, do all that stuff. And there was some guy. And he was kind of like infamous, like the guy at the football games who used to wear that rainbow wig. You'd see him all the time. So,
right.
Yeah, there's always a guy like that. So, yeah.
So what were your impressions of Bill Graham?
He treated us very nicely. I liked him. I never had to do business against him. So I never knew him as the business SOB he was referred to be.
Mm-hmm.
He always treated us very nicely. And there you go.
Yeah. So in that time period, did you have any favorite artists that you really enjoyed doing concerts with, opening up for, or following?
Oh, yeah. We opened up for Jimi Hendrix a lot.
He was wonderful. I was going to ask you about Hendrix.
Okay, go ahead.
What was he like on a one-on-one basis?
He was a nice fella, regular down-to-earth individual who just happened to play guitar a whole lot better than most. But he was just a nice fella. And we spent a lot of time traveling. So, once you got over all that star stuff and all that crap and you're just sitting around a bunch of guys, he was a nice fella. I enjoyed his company. I enjoyed his presence.
Was your schedule? I assume one of the things they said that probably was Jimmy's downfall was his horrendous touring schedule. So if you guys played with him, you played one night in Seattle, the next night in Cleveland. Would that sort of thing go on a lot?
Oh yeah, yeah. We were at one point. It was all stadiums and festivals, and we were flying all the time, constantly. And yeah, we worked all the time in front of him. The Woodstock concert, we were on tour with Jimmy about 3 months or so at that point in time. It was the last day of the tour. We were all coming home, and they said, "Hey, you want to do this festival, Woodstock?" And we all went, "What, are you crazy? 3 months? I'm going home. I'm on the way home." So, and Jimmy went and did it, and it became this event of the century. So, there you go.
Do you have regrets now that you did not do it?
Oh, the only regrets I have now have to do with women.
Oh.
Other than that, no, I have no regrets at all. None. And my biggest regret is I can't kill the son of a gun. But there you go. I'm not bitter. No, not at all.
Oh, no.
Nurse the rifle and the scope quickly.
Yeah. So who were some of your favorite people besides Hendrix to tour with and work with?
Oh, we toured with the Cream. They were a bunch of fun.
Were they?
Subsequently worked with Ginger Baker and his band in the Air Force later in the 80s. Oh, he was a hoot. Let's see. The Who was fun. Of course, Led Zeppelin opened for us. They were great.
Did you have any, did the band have any second thoughts about having Led Zeppelin open for them after they'd heard them a couple times?
No, because the first tour, they weren't that good.
Really?
They were okay, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice band. Okay, good. The second tour they came back was like, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. And it was so much, oh, Jesus, that I think it was Salt Lake City, although it's kind of fuzzy now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was several days into the tour, and, I mean, these guys were tearing the audience apart. They were leaving the audience spent. We would come out, and there would be these dead people, you know, strewn across the field. And, you know, two or three of them still could clap. You couldn't hear it much, though, through all the drool. But anyway, so Led Zeppelin did this one show that was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I came out and said, well, there's no way on God's green earth we can follow this, so we're not going to try.
Uh-oh.
And we brought the fellas out, and all eight of us jammed for the next 2 hours. It went over beautifully. But that's when I knew we were dead. They were the first band that ever outdid us, where we had outdone most everybody else opening for doing the same thing they did to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody eventually gets their butt kicked, and it was them that did it on their second tour. They were amazing. And they kept getting better for the rest of time.
Well, I had the opportunity.
That's why they are considered one of the best bands in the world. They are.
Well, yeah. And I had the opportunity to see. I don't know. It was either their second or third tour, and right before the second album would come out. And they were. They played for, in those days, a long time. I think 2 hours and some odd.
Oh, minutes. Yeah. We'd do an hour and a half, hour and 45. They'd do a two-hour show. Yeah, that's the way it used to be. When I played with Bobby and the Midnights, we'd do a three-hour show with a 15-minute break in the middle.
Wow.
Where we could go back and get stimulated again, because we're dead. Being a family show, we won't go deeper than that, but there you go.
Yeah. Well, I can remember
watch
seeing...
Watch out for Make Mine a Double.
Yeah. I can remember seeing Hendrix, and I think he played 40 minutes, and that was it, and it was... pretty much see you later.
Was it toward the end or a bad night or something?
Well, the experience...
Jimmy could play for a long time.
Yeah, it wasn't one of his better nights, I was told later. They played
Yeah, because when Jimmy had an off night, it was really mediocre.
Yeah.
He was either phenomenal or like, ho-hum, this is really dull. Nothing's working.
Yeah.
That's the same way it was with Beck when I played with him.
Yeah, we were
going to
bring
When we were on,
them.
it was scary. When we were off, it was like they would mock us in the papers.
Really?
So, you know, I think when you're burning that intensely, you're either on or you're off.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And when you can burn that hot and you're on, it's like, oh, my God.
No.
But when you're not, you're less than average. Couldn't tell you why. I wish I knew why, because I could have fixed it.
Yeah,
the Fudge would sometimes have terrible nights. Cactus was usually pretty good. We didn't have bad nights. We would rock. But the same thing with Beck. We'd have a bad night. It was just awful. Nothing worked. You know, you play as short as possible and get the heck out of town.
We're talking to Tim Boger. We're hearing some great things. This is a historical night on Larry Batson's Wild World. We're going to take a short break. We'll be... right back with Tim Bogert from Vanilla Fudge, Cactus, and Bet Bogert and Apicy. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
this week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Cassie, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
It's bobcat heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, not.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
At one second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess. Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. A big hello to our listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, all across North America. We've got a fantastic guest tonight. And we'll be back in just a few moments with Tim Bogert from, legendary bands Vanilla Fudge, Cactus, and Beck Bogert and Apathy, and a great night of classic rock here on Larry Batson's Wild World. Also, we'd like to thank our underwriters such as iSpock. Folks, this is a fantastic tool. Tim lives in sunny California, so this would be no use to him, but it's an affordable, lightweight.
It's cold here today.
Is it cold? Well, what's the temperature?
In the 40s.
That's funny.
Actually, I lied. It's 52.
No. Well, you won't be able to build an igloo, but our good friend Igloo Ed has an affordable, lightweight, and packable tool for building a snow shelter in any snow conditions. Folks, you can actually build your own igloo with this, and here's what Ed does. He goes up into the wilds of Rocky Mountain National Park about this time of year, builds his igloos, and he can go camping in them all winter long. And, of course, when the big thaw comes out in the spring, the igloos disappear. But what a fantastic tool. Go to their website. I want you, everybody, to check this out, www.grandshelters.com. It's really a cool way to go camping with the grandchildren. The iKidsFishing.com is the first kids fishing show in the USA starring kids teaching kids how to fish. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info at We Want You Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in Western New York. That website is www.wewantyou.com. It's one of America's finest fishing resorts. And also a big thank you to Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call at 317-243-0700. And also a big thank you to all of our individual underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio with such great guests as we have tonight, Tim Bogert. And go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and contact us, and we'll tell you how easy it is to be an individual underwriter. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Some of the music that Tim Bogert was a part of, and I have to tell you, Tim, amazing bass lines in that music. Gosh, use the whole thing.
Thanks. Yeah, I used to play lots of notes.
You certainly did. In fact, I was looking. You played a six-string bass, if I'm not mistaken.
I did for the last 20-some-odd years. Back in the day, though, when I was working with Jeff and Cactus and the Fudge and all of that, it was all Fender four-string.
Well, you've been, I tell you what, who are your inspirations in music, if I may ask?
I started on piano and then went to saxophone, and when I started playing bass, it was as a second instrument, so I was listening to saxophone players at the time, King Curtis, and Red Prysock, and things like that, and started translating that into bass lines with the stuff that my guitar player showed me. He said, no, I'll play this, and okay. And that's where a lot of that came from. So my style came from a little bit of a left field. And then I'm just a kind of a weird guy anyway, so I started interpreting things a little differently. And luckily made a style that was accepted and liked.
Well, it's been said, I know Jeff Beck felt that way, that yourself and Carmen Appice was probably, or Appice, or however you say his name. We were talking.
Well, it depends which year. Yeah, it's quite a good marketing ploy. Carmine, you've done well, my son.
But
yeah, yes.
The two of you were probably one of the strongest rhythm sections in rock and roll.
Yeah, we were one of them. Certainly were.
And I have
to tell you, very pleased about that too.
And I have to tell you the truth. when I listened to the old Hendrix records, gosh, how strong would it have been if Jimmy would have had the opportunity to play with yourself and Carmen? I mean,
it was supposed to happen.
It was.
At one point in time. Yeah, it was. And the reason for that actually was a man by the name of Stephen Zage Weiss, who was the head of the management team. That's how come we opened for Jimmy, and that's how come Led Zeppelin opened for us.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Zage Weiss. He was above all the managers that you know and all that stuff. And it was then thought, because of the politics and the time, that it should be black players. So that's where that came from. And I, there you go.
So you were going to be the band of gypsies? That was the idea?
Well, it was before that. I don't know if it would have been called that or not, but there was things talked about. There was jamming had been done. I used to do some of the sound checks sometimes with Jimmy
mm-hmm.
when we were on tour, because the boys sometimes didn't like to do them. And I was so gung-ho. I was a young man, and it was like, oh, my God, I get to play with this guy? Holy smokes. So, yeah, it was really cool.
I can't even imagine if yourself alone would have been a part of his music. It would have been absolutely
well,
I mean, it was amazing.
Played it in a wacky kind of way. It was good.
I mean, it was amazing anyway. But I always thought the weak link from the experience was definitely the bass and drums. And that if he had someone else.
Well,
I
certainly like Mitch. I really like what Mitch was doing. Noel was a guitar player who was playing bass. He wasn't happy about it. So,
well, yeah.
But then again, he had the opportunity of a lifetime, so there he is. But he's a guitar player. That's what he wanted to be. Or that's what he was.
Let me throw some names at you and just give us some impressions, because, gosh, you've toured and played with just about everybody in rock and roll. Leslie Westman.
Well, a certain period of time.
Yeah, Leslie
Westman. I toured with Leslie back in the 80s. I guess it would have been the summer of 89.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Franco was on drums. What a trip that was. Leslie's crazy. I love him. He's insane. This man is out of his friggin' mind. I love him to death.
Why do you say that?
You said this is a family show? I can't tell you.
Oh, no. Well, we just have, it's after 10:45. All right. We'll say Rod Stewart.
Oh, I enjoyed working with him. I did the Foolish Behavior album.
Mm-hmm.
What a nice guy. We opened for him forever with Cactus. They used to come over every weekend. And again, it was the same thing, Stephen Zage Weiss. So we would open. And they would fly in, and we'd do a couple, three shows, and they'd fly back to Europe. We'd fly back to New York. That was a grand time. Wonderful time. Those were the really fun times, that stretch when we were playing with Rod.
Yeah.
Because there was massive amounts of literally foolish behavior that went on in every orifice you can think of.
Well,
drinking and snorting and dancing and stuffing and singing.
Right.
Oh, my.
Well, I've always got the impression that Rod Stewart, when they toured with Faces and that whole genre, that was a fun band. I think it's what made them so great.
Yeah, they were different every night, and we'd start drinking when we hit the dressing room, and it was Courvoisier. That's what the boys drank.
Uh-huh.
And that's the rest of my life I've been drinking cognac. But yeah, God, it was such a good time. They were a lot of fun. It was a barrel of laughs. Six women to every guy. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it was just incredible. I'm in my mid-20s and having more fun than you're allowed to.
Yeah, it should be illegal.
Yeah, nowadays you'd be arrested. Luckily, we weren't arrested then. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a lot of fun.
Steve Perry.
Oh, yeah, I met him with Steve Stevens. And what a singer he is, isn't he?
Oh, my Lord.
We had a little band called Pieces. which never went anywhere.
And I assume that was way before Journey.
Well, Journey found him just as we were trying our second demo with Pieces, mm-hmm. which was the name of the band. And it was going nowhere.
Yeah.
And he went into Journey, and kabam! I am so happy for him. He was such a cool guy. I liked him. I liked him a lot. Great singer.
He is, absolutely. Billy
yes,
Collins.
Sir. Ooh, he was fun to play with.
I can
boy,
imagine.
Oh boy, best drummer in the world in his time.
Uh-huh.
He's still playing, isn't he?
Yes.
Boy, when he was a young man. I guess I was in my 30s when I played with him. Bobby Cochran, myself, and he had a little band called The Trio.
Uh-huh.
And The Trio got absorbed into Bobby and the Midnights. And that turned out to be a spanking 3 years. That was a lot of fun. And we were playing, was it UCLA? There was this hall, I remember, 7,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing a tune with them where I'm kind of the only one in the band holding down the riff. Kind of like the way the Mahavishnu Orchestra used to, because Bobby would get really outside sometimes, especially when he had Billy on drums. And we were playing in 7. Billy decided to play in 56. And did, yeah, thank you. And I'm good so far. You know, we've done about 150 bars, and I'm okay with this. This is fine. And this is when Billy was using his 3 bass drums, and he did this thing. I got to say it's a thing, because
yeah.
he did this thing that just made me stop literally cold in my tracks and go, oh, my God. Now I'm screwed because I've lost one. So I'm fumbling for a bar or two,
you know,
with a stupid look on my face.
Yeah.
Until my pride finally gives in, I turn around and go, Billy, give me a 1, will you? Okay. And I was fine again for the rest of the tune. But yeah, that was weird. He was amazing. And what a nice guy. He'd go out and play racquetball for 2 hours and then come in and play. Amazing, strong man. One of the nicest dispositions of anyone I've ever worked with. A fine character. Really enjoyed the time I played with him.
That's important, thinking that, especially if you're on tour with somebody, that they genuinely have to be nice folks. Or that I assume that tour would just drag
it can
on.
Be very difficult because I've toured with a couple of SOBs in my time, and it's tough.
Would you mention any names?
No. No, Mom said, if you got nothing nice to say about these sons of bitches, keep your mouth shut.
Okay. Rick Derringer.
Oh, boy, he was fun.
Was he?
Yeah, we did a tour with him back in the 80s. It was one of the craziest whirlwind things I've ever done. Had a wonderful time. He's very off the wall and eclectic. And when he's in a good mood, he's great to be around. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He was on this biorhythm kick. He had this machine. If the biorhythms was off, the whole show would change. But he was trippy. I enjoyed him. He's quite a player.
He is, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ginger Baker.
Something. Again, I enjoyed him a lot. I can't clean this story up, so I'm just going to tell it to you.
Okay.
I'm playing in Ginger Baker's Air Force. We're doing a benefit down at the Palomino in North Hollywood. And I've been working at the Musicians Institute now for many years. And Jeff Grillin, who is a fabulous bass player, and I are friends. He's an instructor there. I'm an instructor there. And he's really a fan of Ginger because he's very rhythm-oriented and knows all that stuff. It's kind of how I was able to do all that stuff with Carmen. And Ginger had a back injury. He has some pinched nerves and a disc, a couple of discs. That hurts.
Oh, man.
It can make him a little cranky some evenings.
Yeah.
And Jeff was very, very excited and comes backstage. Tim, have you introduced me to him? Have you introduced me? I said, Jeff, this is not a good time. And I explain about his back. And Jeff is insistent that I introduce him. He says, okay, Jeff, but, you know, it's your own risk, mate. I go in, Ginger, this is Jeff. Jeff, this is Ginger. Jeff sticks his hand out with a big grin on his face and says, hi, Ginger. Or should I just go fuck myself now? And Ginger just cracked up. It was the best icebreaker I have ever seen in my life. And we had a great time that night.
I'll bet.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
So there you go.
he always... Isn't that true, Tim, that some of the greatest artists were, I don't know how to put this, a little off the wall?
Well, I think you have to be a little off the wall to think in that methodry that causes that art to occur. Because I used to joke with my students for many, many years when they get frustrated and crazy about normal stuff that doesn't bother people.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jesus, guys, if we were normal, we'd have a proper job.
Yeah.
And it's true. It really is. Bankers don't think that way. Thank goodness they're messing with my money.
Yeah.
But you see what I mean? That's why I think. That's why we can all relate to that, because we're all a little crazy.
Yeah.
When you're a little crazy, you like to hang around with people who are a little crazy.
I know the feeling.
Other people look at you like, excuse me? So, and I'm an old fan of Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters, so I can get outside real fast. I've been holding back real hard because you said this was a family show.
All right.
So, there you go.
Well, you know.
It's just, it's the mindset. It's just how it is with an artist. We're all nuts.
Well, you know, you brought up the name Jonathan Winters. He owned a Howard Johnson's in Los Angeles.
No.
Yes. And our good friend Jim Fowler, that you'll remember from the old Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom show.
Oh, yeah, right.
It so happens that Jonathan was good friends with Jim Sparks, who's the public relations for Mutual of Omaha. And they were in Los Angeles to do the Johnny Carson show. They had animals. And I guess Jonathan used to hang out at this Holiday Inn, or Howard Johnson's, excuse me, quite a bit in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And, well, he was there in one of the booths, and Jim Fowler decided that he was going to go get a cheetah they had with them. And he led cheetah up to the window where Jonathan Winters was.
This never ends well, Larry.
Well, what happened was Jonathan, you know, he looks at me and goes, ooh, ooh. He walks out of the Howard Johnson. He walks up to Jim and the cheetah. And I guess for 45 minutes, he was lecturing people on cheetahs as if he was a world-renowned zoologist.
Yeah.
And I guess it was Jonathan Winters in his prime, one of the great comedians. It was like...
Yeah, when he was in his prime, he was scary funny.
Oh, my Lord.
He was fast like Robin Williams was when he was a young man.
Yes.
Just very, scary fast.
Very much so. Let me throw another name at you.
Yeah.
Bo Diddley.
Oh, geez, the 20th anniversary album. That was fun. Carmine and I did that, a whole bunch of L.A. session players. I had just gotten out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a wonderful time because I grew up listening to Bo. And to meet him and play for him, that was terrific.
Great
Nothing
guy.
Nothing crazy went on in that session.
What, like what?
Yeah, he was a nice guy. He was a nice fella.
What?
And again, you know, we yes-sired him to death and we were looking for him, so.
Well, yeah.
I'm not going to give him any trouble.
So the sessions. The sessions were fun then.
Oh, yeah. You know, we got to play all that stuff. Michael Melvoin, I remember, was the piano player. He was just brilliant. He was like a concert master. And the guitar player was really good, I remember. And it was a lot of fun because I actually remember it all these years later, and there's been so much that's going on that I've forgotten. But yeah, that was a good one. That was a real good one.
What point in your career did you kind of think to yourself, this job's just way too cool?
About the second night on tour when we started getting hit records.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
With Vanilla Fudge.
Yeah. Yeah, it happened very quickly. We went from bar band that couldn't get hired to we have a top 10 album in less than a couple months. And when we came back from Europe, we were over in England because the album had hit very hard there. And George Harrison, bless his heart, was bringing the album everywhere saying, listen to these guys. So that when we got to London, geez, the first four rows were everybody I listened to when I grew up. I mean, the Beatles were there. The Stones were next to them. Eric Burton and the guys were there. Now, and on and on and on and on. Everybody was at this place. I was freaking out.
I'll bet. So what were the Beatles like?
Just got to say hello, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Got to meet everybody for about 10 seconds. And being in my early 20s,
mm-hmm.
I just floored. This is just too cool for words.
Oh, I can imagine.
This is better than having sex with a centerfold. Yeah.
No.
No, we won't explain that either.
No.
Thank you.
Well, I want to say, Tim, it was certainly a pleasure to have you join us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
I listened to the Vanilla Fudge music and Cactus and your music with Beck and Carmen. It's just fantastic, and I get cold chills.
Well,
we're listening to the tracks tonight, I just got cold, and I could hear those phenomenal bass lines. And one of the great, for the young players out there that are playing the bass guitar, I'm telling you right now, get a Vanilla Fudge record, a Cactus record, a BBA record, and sit in your bedroom and listen to those records and follow those bass lines, because Tim Bogert
because
is one of the best.
Because disco changed everything.
Yeah.
It really did. Disco changed everything.
Well, it did, but gosh, you know, you don't hear those disco records now, but you still hear a Vanilla Fudge, and you still hear those.
Bass playing stopped being real flowery after disco.
Yeah.
Yes, bass players, you can play flowery. You can play lots of notes. Just do it rhythmically.
That's right. That's right. Well, a great, fantastic show, Dr. Day.
Yes, I think Tim has a lot more to tell us.
More than you'll ever know.
Well, I was going to put him on the spot. We'd like to have you back on again sometime, Tim. What a fantastic hour it flew by.
Hey, I wanted to ask Tim.
Well, thank you.
Tim, did you have a nickname? Did that the musicians have a nickname for you?
Tim is a nickname, actually. It's not my real name.
Oh. Well, there you go, Dr. Day.
And several others that, again, as this is a family show, we won't air now. The last word would be face.
Yeah,
you know the first word.
I gotcha. Well, a big thank you to Tim Bogert. We want to tell everyone that next week on the program from Chicago, reptile expert and, guys, close friend of the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin, Jim Nessie is going to join us. We'll be talking gators and snakes and lizards. Once again, Tim, thanks for joining us. Fantastic hour. And last time I talked to you, did you get your caulking done around your home?
No, and it's going to rain tomorrow. I'm pissed.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I still have more to do.
Oh, that's a fun job. Absolutely. Well, we'd like to thank...
Oh,
yeah. We'd like to thank Melissa Hovey, Wayne Larson, and Jim Johnson. Have a great week, everybody. You've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.